In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
So today we go back and revisit the burial of Jesus and the discovery of the empty tomb by the myrrh-bearing women. And we know from Mark's account, which we read today, and from John's account, which we read on Holy Friday, that Jesus was buried by two men, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. And besides being followers of Jesus, these two men had something in common. They were both members of the Jewish High Council, the Sanhedrin, which had just shown an unbelievable depth of vengeance and cruelty, orchestrating the brutal crucifixion of Jesus. These two men were members of that council that orchestrated this. Now, if you go back and read, especially John's gospel, you see the dilemma that these two men face. As they get to know Jesus, they believe in him more and more. And yet, they have this other foot firmly planted in the religious establishment of which they're actually part. Nicodemus, we hear, only visits Jesus at night so as not to be seen. And later, when he defends Jesus to the Sanhedrin, it's always a little tentative, a little procedural. Nicodemus says things like, "Should we really condemn someone without a hearing?" Never anything like, "I believe Jesus to be the Christ." There's something tentative about it because he has one foot on each side. Joseph of Arimathea also still cares what the Sanhedrin think. It says that he does many of his deeds for Christ in secret, trying to serve Jesus under the radar and not stir up trouble. Their issue is that during the growth of their early faith, they still care what other people think. They still care about their religious and social position. They still care how those in power might react if they follow their conscience. But then they find freedom. They find freedom. An event happens so big that they finally don't care anymore what others think. When Jesus is unjustly handed over to the Romans and crucified, Joseph and Nicodemus reach the point where they just don't care anymore what the Sanhedrin think, or what they might do, or what their position within the establishment may end up being. And when they finally stop caring, they're free. When they finally stop caring, that's when they find freedom. I mean, think about it. The scales come off. The chains come off. The fear is vaporized. When they finally stop caring, they're free to care. And they're free to do good. Which is to say, when they finally just had enough, and they stop caring what others think of them, and stop caring what the authorities might do to them, they are free to care genuinely. They are free to care from the heart. They are free to care in a way that expresses the divine love of God. And it starts just by taking courage to bury the body of Jesus. I mean, that was a public declaration. They knew once they did that, their story was out. And after the resurrection, both end up baptized, and they have a death sentence put on them. And they're forced to flee Jerusalem. Nicodemus was quite elderly by this point, and he is eventually caught and martyred. While the slightly younger Joseph, he was only 80, would be pursued and persecuted all the way to present-day England, sharing the gospel along the way. And all that happened because they got to the point where they could say, "I just don't care anymore what the authorities think. I just don't care anymore what the neighbors think, because I know who God is." And that freedom allowed them to genuinely care in the Spirit of God. Now, the same dynamic, a very similar dynamic, is going on with Mary Magdalene and the other myrrh-bearing women. to witness what they witnessed at the cross. And it was perpetrated by their religion. It was perpetrated by their religious leaders. When we stop and think how big that is, how big that is when evil is done by religious authorities in the name of God. I mean, think about that sentence. Evil is done by religious authorities in the name of God. The devastation to one's sense of order is huge. It's huge. That's not easy to recover from. And they knew Jesus. They followed Jesus. They loved Jesus. And they had truly seen Jesus. They had, like, seen him. They knew who he was. And in that society, still, women had to be double careful what others thought. Their social position was often dubious. So to get to the point where you finally just don't care anymore what other people think or what the authorities might do, that's a big step. That's a big step, especially for a woman in that society. That's a big step. But that's also freedom. That's also freedom. Not caring what others think freed Mary Magdalene to show care from her heart, to show the care of the divine spirit within, that this divine spirit was prompting her to show, to be able to care in that freedom. And so Mary Magdalene and the other women went to the tomb to complete a funeral rite, knowing full well guards were posted, and knowing full well that a giant stone is blocking the tomb and they have no idea how they're going to move it. But she had stopped caring about these kinds of impediments and only cared about showing care, only cared about showing real care. And she and the other women were rewarded for this care by becoming the first witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and earning Mary Magdalene the eternal title in the church of the apostle to the apostles. I mean, without Mary Magdalene, the other apostles are nothing. We wouldn't know their names today if it weren't for Mary Magdalene. Caring when you finally don't care anymore is the best and freest caring that there is. And ultimately, it's because that is Christ-like caring. Jesus cared for others without caring what people or authorities would think or do. He didn't even care what his disciples thought. He was going to care the way God cares. And in the end, it cost Jesus the cross. But to him, that was worth it. That was worth it. To care with divine care was worth even the cross. And so for each of us, are there not times in life when we want to do good? When we are prompted to take action, when we want to show care in ways that may be unpopular to somebody else, and we get these nasty voices that show up, what are they going to think? How are others going to react? What will it cost me or my status? And that's not only decision time, it's invitation time. Decision time is, do I bury the real me and not show care because of what others may think? Or the invitation is, do I take a page from Mary Magdalene and Joseph and Nicodemus and stop caring what others think and follow the promptings of God within who would never leave me? Because caring, when you finally don't care anymore, is the best and freest caring there is. Amen.